episode of Conversation is supported by the generous donations of Klaus Schwab. You can support us too at truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link. truthmeets.com. Click on the donate link.
Gone mad. Truthmeets.com presents from the makers of A Fish Called Wamba, John Wick meets Ethel Merman and Enter the Dugong. Be Told, episode 53, based on a book by Kirk Flugelheimer and Kenny J. Hoopelman, featuring interpretive dancing, neo-yoga, and drinking and clinking and other noises. This is Be Told on truthmeets.com.
Thank you very much. What an introduction. What a wonderful introduction on the Be Told. On the date today is February the 22nd, 2026. And the date, my son, who just got back from New Zealand, what name do I call him? Herman? No. Heinrich? Whatever. Heinrich. Just got back from New Zealand. A absolute musicologist. I have created a, just like I was, same age, obsessed with music. I have to know everything about all the different bands. And he was just informing me, it's very sad news that Mark Lanigan passed away 4 years ago today. This is the anniversary of Mark Lanigan's death. And I'm a huge, huge, huge Mark Lanigan fan. And you will, I would say, we'll go out with a song by Mark Lanigan, one of his many bands. What was the first band? You're listening to Be Told 53. Be Told.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Be Told 53. As I was just saying, the anniversary of Mark Lanigan's death. Now, I was very upset when he passed away from mysteriously. Was it a heart attack or whatever? You know, suspicious. And he'd been forced to take, to get back to Ireland, another injection that, you know, he was good with injections. He was a junkie for a long time. But he was going to be, I predicted, the new Johnny Cash, the Man in Black. You know, he had this deep baritone voice. I have not heard a bad song that man has had anything to do with. I will just tell you now, the guy was just a fantastic creation. Born 2 months after me in 1964, so I was actually older than him. I didn't know that. He looked a bit older than me. I think he had a much more harder life than me. I'm a bit of a clean freak, really, when it comes to healthy living, apart from a few vices we've got. I'm just looking up at the sprayed sky. We are getting sprayed sideways today. Wonderful. And the new big thing, though, is in New Zealand, where they're really getting done over with the mega weather warfare that's going on in New Zealand, is they're using ships to unleash a vast amounts of some kind of, I think it's sulfur dioxide, allegedly, into the stratosphere or into the jet stream while they're at sea over the top of New Zealand. And you can see it in the, we're not going to say satellite, I'll call them weather satellites, Satellites, pinching that from somebody, I think from IPS or someone, Satellites, because there's no satellites in space zooming down here. These are things that are up in the stratosphere, weather balloons with very high power cameras, extremely high power cameras, showing you your weather, cloud patterns, et cetera, et cetera. A conversation into itself, which I'm not going to go into, but the weather warfare is on in 2026. The farming areas and orchard areas of New Zealand and Australia are being decimated. At the moment in Australia, there's areas of the desert or, you know, the inland about to get 1,100 millimetres in a few days, according to the alleged, you know, the weather channels. This is just going to destroy what's left of whatever. So you're going to find your meat products and your dairy products and meat exports, etc., all going to be decimated, just like New Zealand's getting it at the moment. A guarantee to be told, no arguments entered into on this channel to be told, or especially on this show. Now, what we're going to talk about tonight, I'll still have a look at my notes. So one of the things that I have talked about before, but a lot of people probably are slow of thinking and not quite getting it. Bruce Lee, the martial artist, you know, born 27 November 1941, I think it was, which is another 9/11. Now, if you've got to look at these codes, though, 27 is 9 and 11, so it's got 9/11s. There's a bit of a coded thing in his name. Son of a opera singer actor in Hong Kong. I meant to be. Now, what Bruce did, he came by the Green Hornet, who replayed Kato. Kato, there'd be a there with that name, in the 60s. I think they were kind of like a rival to Batman. The Bruce, not Bruce, the one, the great Batman show from the 60s, that kind of era. Maybe they, I think he might even have appeared on Batman. I'm not sure. Can't quite remember. But, What the kung fu, that's KF, kung fu. Now, I'm into coincidences and conspiracy theories. He says getting ice out of the fridge. There's a warning at the beginning of the show, I do believe. It warns you that I make incidental noises in my life, as we all do. KF, what's that? That's 11F6, 611. That's turn it upside down, 9/11. Coincidence? I'm not so sure. The dragon, the logo for the martial arts, you know, there's a there, blah, blah, blah. Now, I was a child of 10 years of age in 74 when he died, but his movies in New Zealand and Australia and England, particularly England, swing like a pendulum, that country, I think there was more dojos, that's the martial arts places that sprung up. England really got taken in with the whole kung fu thing. You had David Carradine's show, Kung Fu 73, 74, absolutely fantastic show. But what this was doing was introducing the dragon into the narrative and the Chinese as a normal thing, because all of a sudden the plan was that you're going to get an awful lot of Chinese people in your Western-speaking countries. And this, the Kung Fu psychological operation, which is exactly what it was, karate, you know, et cetera, another K, all deliberately done to bring in the introduce the West into the East, into the dragon. It was, and you, the movie was blatantly titled Enter the Dragon. A great movie. It had John Saxon and, was it Kareem, you know, some big tall black, basketball player. Honestly, I could not fault these movies. Everyone was into it, you know, and then the song Kung Fu Fighting came out to get the radios involved in 74. The whole thing was just a great big psychological operation to introduce the East into the West. The Beatles did a huge job in the 60s, but I'm telling you now that Kung Fu and Bruce Lee was the bigger operation that went on to introduce the East into the West. The Indian stuff and the sitar and all that programming that came through the Beatles when they mysteriously went from clean-cut, nice suit-wearing, short-haired guys within 3 years were caftan-wearing, sitar-playing, introducing you into all sorts of like Crowley and Theosophy type level esotericism. The album covers of the Beatles tell you everything you need to know. The Paul is Dead thing was a 100% made to be deliberate part of the psychological operation where they allegedly replaced Paul in 65 to another guy. But then if they wanted you not to know this, they wouldn't have put these blatant clues. And everyone knew about this back then. I remember my cousin, older cousin, telling me, you know, there's Paul's got no shoes when he's crossing Abbey Road. And there's the Volkswagen's got 27 if with a question mark. I mean, it didn't have a question mark on the number plate, but that's how they portrayed it. Like he would have been 27 if he hadn't died. But they wanted you to be into this rumor that Paul is dead. Now that again, it's, feeds them the Mandela type thing. This is 20 years to 30 years before they are actually going to unleash something. They'll put clues and stories out there. And I guess it had been done before. I guess in the Plato's era, they probably used these techniques of taking over a culture. It's, you know, tried and true techniques. They always use the same ones. It's a complete rinse recycle. Look at my beautifully mowed lawns. A lot of effort, but my God, when I'm talking, I'm not sitting in. This is why it's so unprofessional. I'm like walking around with a mobile phone with an earbuds in my ear. I don't have a microphone or a computer. I don't like them. I like to be free and easy when I'm talking. Anyway, yeah, so that was well worth looking into, the Bruce Lee operation. Now, then Brandon Lee, you know, his son, allegedly died on The Crow, which, you know, the imagery of The Crow and the look, it's almost by coincidence, the makeup and everything, just like Heath Ledger's Joker to a lot of extent. I happen to have been on the biggest production that the director of The Crow did after that, where this is Dark City. There were no guns allowed on set when they had, if there was any gunplay, which I have not even seen the movie properly to discuss this, but all I know is that they were using a gun with a kind of a laser kind of light flash that they just edited in the sound. So there was he refused to have any guns on a set after the Crow incident, whether it happened or not. I'm not going to go on about it, but it possibly did. Getting hit by a blank is an extremely dangerous. Firing a blank round at anything, anybody, is extremely dangerous. I don't even think they do it. That's why I think that story about what's his name in the movie. I think they were going to release soon, re-release the girl that got shot by. That actor in America, whose name will conveniently leave my head. There's a whole, what is the name? The name's just, the tip's right there, but I can't get it. Baldwin, Alec Baldwin, there you go. No computers needed. My rusty old analog brain, rusting away, completely analog, actually does fire up every now and then. Even though I spent, since I could read, so that's 1969. I think I could read 64 when I was, I'm sure I could read the books I was reading at kindergarten. Well, that is mainly picture books, but could I read the words? No, I probably just made them up. Like my daughter used to do, she was so clever. She could, she memorized, when she was very little, this book, Railroad Toad. She used to call it Raleigh Toad. And she knew all the words, and I knew when she was little that she was going to be a traveler because she was obsessed with this book about a little toad that jumps on a train and goes flying around the place, because that's all that girl has been doing since she managed to get out of clutches of her parents and become independent. She has traveled the world, and she is the most amazing person ever. Fantastic person. And I don't want anyone to think that, because last week's show, I was a bit mean to, I was going about the, what's it called, BPD, which I think is a thing. But I have the highest regard to the mothers. I think the mothers are the most important person in a child's upbringing. The father, of course, needs to be there and to be an influence, but they hold that child in their body for 9 months, or in some cases a lot less, which I've experienced with. And they nurture them. And in a relationship, the worst relationship I've ever seen is when a parent, one of them, can't trust the other to be looking after their children. That relationship is doomed, and the child often, unless they're very lucky, is doomed as well. Because you've got to be able to trust. And I had that without any doubt. I had the greatest partner when it came to doing the well-being of the child. And she knew that I was there, and I knew she was there. And that's all you have to be as parents. Whether you personally get on, a lot of the time relationships die because you focus too much on the children and not on you. This is a thing. This is definitely a problem. And that's why the happy couples that I see now that are got a nuclear family, why do they call it nuclear? You know, it's another bad word, slur. We've got grandparents and still around. They can come and look after the kids, and the parents can go off and travel and have some time together and be alone from these little staggering around little Oompa Loompas that come after you and even follow you into the toilet. Most mothers don't get any time to themselves. They can't even go to the toilet without one of these little gremlins chasing them around and following them. Because it's only natural. Only natural. And you see it with kittens and puppies, et cetera, et cetera. It's part of nature. Anyway, where are we going here on this? So look at my notes. So yeah, Bruce Lee guaranteed a huge influencer of culture creation. Not many people talk about this. This is not my original idea. I think I heard someone, was it SMJ or someone? I think he was the guy I think I heard querying in Bruce Lee. I don't know where he got it from, but this is not my original thoughts. But what I am telling you, not many people talk about the culture creation of Kung Fu, KF, 611, 11-6, 9-11, if you turn it upside down. This is a fact. And as you've heard, you know, in these Epstein-Stein files, apparently there's there bragging about, we know Kabbalah. Like, he was kind of running Madonna down, who was trying to advertise as being into Kabbalah and saying that she doesn't know real Kabbalah. We know real Kabbalah. There's obviously a power in these numbers, and letters and arrangements of letters. This is not to be scoffed at. But it really is the pointy end of the conspiracy theorist. Yeah, you can get too much into them, which I don't, and start analysing every single possible code. And that's that thing where you're breaking down each word into different numbers, which there is a there, 100%. But I gematria. Now, I stay clear of that because I've already got enough clutter in my brain, just like my garage. If you go into my garage, if the garage isn't representative of my brain. It's full of interesting and useful things, but it's in total chaos. So there could be a there with that. Could be a there. I did a great show, Rick and Rollo, last night. These are not shows for the squeamish, really. They're pretty ordered nowadays, but they used to be really full on. Like our Fakeologist Australia Roundtable shows, which are available on Truth Meets. Absolutely fantastic shows, but I tell you now, very much controversial comments being talked about by various members. But really good shows. If you're interested in listening to Australians drunk on a Saturday night or taking other substances, no names mentioned, absolutely fantastic shows. well produced by Joel, the master producer of Truth Meets and creator of truthmeets.com. One of the absolute, I tell you now, for me to have a contact like him who knows and understands media and packets and production, it's just unbelievable, because I'm a total a Luddite here, and that's why you can hear beer clinking and stuff like that, because I really don't give a fuck. I was such a millionaire. Who, if you listen, you're going to get some information. If you're going to complain about the sound, you should not be listening. It's absolutely futile. Switch it off now, because you'll hear me going, because it's fucking hot here, and I swear. But it's cooling down a little bit, but then we've had a big blanket of humidity over. When Australians complain about heat, you can bet your bottom dollar it's a lot worse than what you can visualize in Europe or in America, or especially Canada. Why would anyone live in these countries? It's absolutely beyond me. I don't care how beautiful your architecture is. I like to go to the beach and sunbathe almost, 10 months of the year. Much more healthier for you. You can go into the salt water and discharge all these negative energies, man. Guaranteed. It's just fucking amazing. Sorry for the language. A language warning. I've got so many notes here. Oh, I could just talk all night. Oh, wait, I'll tell you one of the most interesting things I listened to. I signed myself back onto the Ed Opperman, the Opperman Report show. Very interesting. He is such a talent at interviewing. He's got a great voice. He's a knockabout, which, like, I would consider myself one. He's a knockabout, you can't upset the guy, but he's a very massive mad socialist. Which to me, what do they say? Communism is socialism in a hurry. Do you really want to live in communism? And, it is nice to be able to own properties. Not that I got a mortgage, and I'm not wealthy, but I don't, I'm not paying into some government thing. And when you're a renter, you learn about socialism, that you can be kicked out. If you say they'll do the wrong thing, you're thrown out. And that's what's coming with technocracy, but it's on steroids. Technocracy is socialism and communism at a level we've never heard of before. At a level we've never heard of before. And it's on its way right to you. And that's why there's so much distraction in the media. The Epstein Files is 100% one of it. one of them. And poor old Prince Randy Andy. Now, it's so funny because I've got a 91-year-old woman. Is she 91 yet? Yeah. You're listening to Beatles.
You've reached another top of hour on Truth Meets. Go to truthmeets.com to sign up and participate in our forums and conversations.
Thank you, Joel. It's Truth Meets, or Be Told, episode 53, 22nd February. Fucking 11th, 2026. The anniversary of Mark Lanegan passing away 4 years ago. Very sad day. Very sad day. But his music lives on. Anyway, back to this. I got this lady rings me, a client, 91 years of age, and a totally awake person. And she always wants to ring and talk about the Epstein Files because she hates the royal family. And she lived in swinging London, was friends with John Osborne, the playwright. She knows the stuff. And I said just offhandedly to her, I said, when you were young, in England, hanging out with all these people, did you see anything like what Epstein? And she said, yes, I did. She went to a party in a castle owned by she couldn't remember his name, and it wasn't Lord Rothschild, because I'm sure she would have remembered that name. Because that's where they shot the Eyes Wide Shut swinging scene, one of my favourite scenes in the movie, obviously. I'm body conscious. I like to see women with great bodies. And I have to say that Stanley Kubrick also appreciated the female form, because the women that he gets on celluloid with their bits visible are all beautiful. Particularly that scene, it's an amazingly haunting scene. And the music in that particular scene is an old, old Catholic hymn played backwards. Very nefarious, I'll just say that. Very nefarious. And I do believe a lot of it was cut out. That's what they say. Although the guy that knows more about this than anyone on the planet, Sean McCann, who's stone off his head, you know, tripping, rewatch, I think he's probably seen it 1,000 times. That guy is the expert out there on that movie. And he's also developed a technique where when Tom Cruise mentions something in he mentions a couple of time in the script. He says in 2 hours time, or he says and it'll be in a couple of hours. And he was tripping obviously, or off his head. And that's where you pick up stuff. And I'm telling you now, you do. There's no doubt about it. You heighten your senses when you're on, LSD, marijuana, or any of these things that alter your mind. You are way more perceptive to what's out there. And so he was fast-forwarding each scene exactly 2 hours from each bit on the thing. Is it 2 hours, whatever it was? And it would be relevant to the script. So he reckons that Kubrick actually released the perfect movie. He didn't want anything added or removed from it, which is very interesting. Now, I remember I was on Mission Impossible 2 in 98. And all of a sudden, I remember reading that Tom had to go back to, I've said this before, I'm repeating myself here, but this is the way it goes on the Be Told shows. Just like Alan Watt, ding, 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 I mentioned him. He used to repeat this himself all the time, but it's information you need to hear again and again and again. And you may have a new listener, or one. Another lizard might have come out of the, been hatched, and it might be listening to me, because we don't have many live listeners on the Rick and Rollo show. Has a dog, a cat, Susie from America, and some lizards, and a spider occasionally. Very low level, which is fantastic. I like that. I know who I'm talking to. I don't like to think that I'm talking to someone I don't know, but that's the way it is. Anyway, so in 98, Nicole Kidman and Tom Cruise left like urgently to go back to England rather, to reshoot bits of Eyes Wide Shut. And I've been into film since a very young age. And my favorite, look, you listen to Be Told shows, you'll understand that I understand movies. I've been a movie watcher, TV watcher since I was 5 or even younger. And I was into it. My books I collected were movie books. The albums I had at a very young age were movie soundtracks. I used to read in this New Zealand Listener, Bradford's Hollywood, the last page of the Listener, which was about Hollywood gossip. I knew everything about Hollywood gossip. Anyway, and I remember reading that they've gone back to reshoot scenes a year after it wrapped. And when you wrap a film, they call it a wrap. They have a wrap party. That's WRAP. It's over. Very rarely will you ever see something like this. So Kubrick was in there editing after the film had wrapped for a year. For some reason, they quickly had to go back there. This is before he died, and reshoot scenes. And I remember thinking, that's incredible, because I knew big Hollywood, big productions, so I've been on them. You've got sets that, you know, you might have to recreate, that has to look exactly as it did, and all the props need to be back again so it looks, you know, for the continuity. And this was an incredible story. Now, this is, you're not going to hear this on any other show. Joe Rogan doesn't get this kind of stuff. He just listens to other people's conversations. Likeable guy. I don't listen to him. But what I'm giving you is, you know, and it's the esoteric. This is why I actually called myself Esoteric with a K, which is the last, you know, my name. So I thought that was really strange. I thought that back then, right? Back then that was odd. So then Kubrick died not long afterwards. Allegedly, and I possibly think he didn't. And I'm one of these guys that also suggests Aldous Huxley just went off the stage and became a director of the 60s because of all of those movies. I've talked about them on the show. You have to go back now 53. You've got 52 episodes to catch up on where I've talked about this stuff before. That I suggest that the director of the 60s was Aldous Huxley and crew, plus Edward Bernays and Jung, etc., that were writing all the scripts and using the subconscious to be the weapon. And that's what it is, a be told. So they went back. This is straight after whatever the essential scenes they needed to wrap on Mission, or on Mission Impossible 2, to go back and reshoot a whole lot of stuff. And I thought, there's something strange about that. Now, were they editing out? Apparently there's scenes of, in that particular orgy scene where there's pentagrams that they cut that out because it was a bit too obvious. Bex Bear from Germany. How can it come to Australia for $55 a case from Germany? How on earth can that happen? I might have to mute for a little bit and I'll be back straight away. Oh, and he's back again. Sorry, I thought there was someone at the door, but it was my son talking to someone, probably his mother. Fantastic. Yeah, so that's interesting. There was something weird going on with the end of Eyes Wide Shut, how they'd suddenly decided they had to do something. And I would suggest they had to go and do something to kind of get some of the more blatant things in that movie out there. Again, we talked about this the last show, I think, or the week one before, the Christmas lights, et cetera, that were always in. If you go into the last Bongversations I did last week, I think Dave explains some of that, possibly. Yes. Now, the Rick and Roller show last night, I was doing some, you know, hitting some hot, heavy subjects. It's funny, that can be a show of nothing, like the Seinfeld episode of Seinfeld, or it can be really hard hitting. And we're talking about Pretty Baby, the actress from the sequel that was in it, and some anecdotes that I'd heard. Very interesting stuff. I won't talk about it on the show. It's on the Rick and Rollo show, probably in about half an hour in, so you have to listen to the whole show, or maybe more. But these are really good shows where you're just listening to actual, real, organic conversation with no editing, no production other than Joel just slamming it together and putting a song on the end. And people with, we've got no filter, literally, and Rollo's got zero filters. It's unbelievable. But real conversation is what you want to have. If you're going to be in Australia, you're going to have beer bottles clinking and people smoking or whatever. That's the way it is. You're not going to get – this is not professional like a Joe Rogan show. But you get exclusive. Exclusive. Now, I noticed two massive stories on Facebook, because this Epstein thing is just like a tsunami that's going on. I was on about 14 years ago. To no avail. But there is a big there, but it's not the things that Prince Andrew, I think, is a fall guy, I think. You know, I think Ab was talking last night on the Rick and Rollo show, that they're not bringing up the thing that the elites really are into, and is 100% correct, and that is pedophilia or young boys getting attacked. And you don't see any of that in the Epstein file, so therefore it could be a mask. Just like they were wearing in the movie Eyes Wide Shut. So all of a sudden on Facebook, which again, I'm using Facebook because it actually is showing me what the public is seeing and what they're thinking. And it was very depressing. That's why I got off it for 4 years during COVID, because I did not want to know how stupid they were. But a lot of people have woken up, and I think that every reaction has a, every something or other has a reaction, you know, like when you throw a tennis ball, it bounces back if you throw it against a wall. And that's what happened with COVID, is information has come out after so many people got woken up by that operation. And this, again, the censorship going on at the moment, this hate speech, this is going to have the negative effect. It's going to actually make more people angry. They can't say things about certain people or whatever you're not allowed to talk about. People, it makes people suspicious, and that's it's not a positive thing. Not a positive thing. Not for them anyway. It is for us. So anyway, there was all of a sudden the Fiona Barnett stuff started coming back out again. Now, she came out as Candy Girl 10 years ago, saying some of the most incredible things. Now, not so incredible now, if these Epstein things would be trusted, from FIB, FBI, sorry, the anagram of FBI is FIB, and I guarantee you there's a there. I will put money on it. And what is a fib? It is a lie, guaranteed. So, Candy Girl, she actually names all sorts of people, including a former neighbour of mine who was a famous actor in Australia, Bruce Spence. Now, I met him, I worked for him clearing his house out because he sold his house, and him and his wife are really nice. He's got a lovely daughter and a lovely son, really nice people. That's my reaction. That's what I thought of them. She's accusing him of being right into it, him and another famous actor, into this scene. Also, she's named a whole of others, including Ray Hadley, of all people, who I would say 100% is never be part of this thing. He's a knockabout broadcaster. So what this is to me, and Jan Ervin, who I totally think was on the money back then. He's now all over the place. Is he all over the place? He's very pro-Trump, which I think is a bit odd. But he uses the trivium. He was the guy that brought the trivium thing and the quadrivium, where it's, how, what, where, and why, etc. And Fiona Barnett went to be interviewed by him, and he started asking those questions using the trivium, and she just she hung up and would not talk to him. And that's what made me think very suspicious. So is this whole thing part of the destroy the West and make the World Economic Forum and a global solution, an AI government more feasible? Yes, I guarantee you now. That's what the ultimate goal is. Is crash the West. And these things that are coming out, and I'm getting a little 91-year-old woman ringing me and telling me all these things. Although she did say, yes, she went to one of these parties and it was definitely something weird, and there were dungeons, and she got out of there. And she probably was good. She's 91 now. I can't visualize what she might have looked like, but obviously she was probably a good-looking chick back in the day. In London, hanging around with some of these elites and, playwrights, and worked in one of the underground, I think it was called, in London, one of the top nightclubs. It was full of interesting people. So I will keep talking to her because she loves ringing me up because I listen to her because she's got no friends that would grasp what she's talking about. But I understand it all. I'm a vintage conspiracy theorist of the highest order. I would call myself a Jedi-level conspiracy theorist. Yes, I would say that. Because who else has been around since 1980? Well, I wasn't in the 60s, but I knew that stuff was bullshit way back then. And a really good example of that, back in the days, you didn't have computers. That was a wonderful life. You didn't have these things that I'm talking to you on in my pocket, that are listening to everything you're saying and giving you adverts that you only thought about. Yes, they are. I'll say that again. Yes, they are. Anyway, there used to be a group of us, in the, say 1980, 79, 80, we're all 15 or so, and there was five or six or seven guys, with nothing to do. We didn't get too young to go to the pub. We weren't working. We're at school. But we used to sit around smoking cigarettes and drinking cups of tea and just talking to each other about weird stuff. And, you know, we were all into the unknown, and it was just fantastic. And we get all these having amazing conversations, and it was fantastic. Why was I talking about that? Anyway, so we'd come up with things, and one of them was the UFO thing, because me and one particular other friend of mine, we were, again, the youngest members of the public in the New Zealand's first UFO conference in 78. We were like 12 or 13. Everyone was like in their 50s, like old people. I think Bruce Cathy was there, the fantastic Captain Bruce Cathy, who wrote Harmonic series of books, including Harmonic 33. Big there's there. A massive there's in those books. And we came up at the same time as the guy that was actually in the movie Close Encounters, that Jacques Vallée, that these craft and stuff like that, or aliens, they're not from outer space. These are interdimensional creatures. Now, if you look at and read the Book of Enoch, this is what he talks about, and that's what was that removed from the Bible because of that reason, because it is such an interesting read. Have you read the Book of Enoch? I've got an old copy of it. It is absolutely fantastic. It talks about dimensions, talks about portals, it talks about, it's just out there. You're listening to Be Told.
No matter what your age,
you're listening to Conversation.
Or your affiliation.
On truthmeets.com.
Let yourself engage.
And now, back to the conversation.
In the art of conversation.
Be Told, episode number 53. Now, my cat, my hairy pussy, and she needs to be trimmed again, like God, is, I've fed her three times today with, you know, cat food, fancy feast. I'll just read you the tuna, courgettes and whole grain rice, salmon, pumpkin and spinach. This is not normal. This is what they're marketing cat food to cats. So they're marketing almost Heston Blumenthal. Now, I'll talk about, actually, well, this is the way I can do it on the show. I'll forget what I was talking about before. I'll talk about Heston Blumenthal. Now, he's not looking too well anymore, Heston, but he was doing basically a cooking version of the Mandela effect or gaslighting. He was cooking things that did not look what like they were, but yet they tasted what they were. So he'd be making a bacon sandwich, and then make it look like a carrot, right? This is what he was doing. There's a big there with that whole operation of all these cooking shows. Now, Jay Dyer and Hoaxbusters Call, etc., or 15 years ago, already exposed that the whole cooking shows were run by the CIA and the military. Why was this so? Well, there's the end goal was what they got with Heston Blumenthal, creating food. So there was a whole, he'd be setting up in the London Underground somewhere with his kitchen, and people would come up and they'd drink what looked like a cup of tea, and it would taste like carrot juice, or it was a giant carrot, but when you cut into it, it was actually bacon. This is like causing this fracturing your brain, going, what the fuck did I just eat? This was again like the Kung Fu, KF 9/11, 6/11, 11/6, weaponized cultural creation. Has anyone out there ever brought this up before? Heston Blumenthal, etc. I've fucking put money on it, they haven't. Why is a humble cleaner, painter, sadly, you know, living alone with a cat, coming up with this stuff? Because that is what you do with your brain. And there's many other people out there, but you don't hear them on the mainstream podcasts because they're getting censored. Whereas I don't try to go on to be mainstream. I've got no interest in it. Zero interest in it. Again, I've hung around some of the most famous people in the world. Was I impressed? No. Did I treat them any different than me? No. I felt sorry for them most of the time. I did. And I thought, you know, Jared, dear, you know, what a life. You know, I would never wish celebrity on anybody. Unless you've got a huge ego like David Hasselhoff, where you walk around literally in your pocket with autographed photos of your face. Now, that is an ego, like Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop candles, putting out a candle that smells like your vagina. Can you imagine the ego required to do something as ludicrous as that? No. And I certainly can't. So that's where you look at is this ego, the egos that are stroked by these celebrities and the religion of rock and roll and movies and movie stars. He says, sorry, I think it ice is so goddamn warm out there. And to put it into my beer, yes, I am drinking, of course, Beck's beer from Germany. 100% fantastic. Yeah, so Heston Blumenthal, great example of gaslighting the public. I thought as soon as I seen the guy and heard his name, I thought there's something suspicious about this guy. You know, he's had a nervous breakdown or something. You know, he's probably been God knows what, but he doesn't look as well as he did. But he was doing stuff on those TV shows, creating, fracturing your brain. You eat something that looks like something. It doesn't taste like that, but it tastes like it's bacon, but it looks like a carrot. Or vice versa. He might make a slice of bacon. He might have made it out of, you know, it's just this really weird stuff. But this is part of this whole thing that we're going through. The James Bond movie. Now, interesting. I'll talk about this the Mandela effect. During the week, I was talking to, I'll call him waking up. Client, my dentist, absolutely fantastic guy. One of the nicest people I've met just a really good guy. Parent, same as me, got a daughter and two sons. And wife's left him. You know, this is what happens when you, an interesting person, they tend to go off and you tend to be, and it's fantastic. I said to him when it happened, I said, you will be happy. It might be overnight, but you will become happy. Anyway, and he's got fantastic, his kids are fantastic, like mine, fantastic kids. We've done our job as humans. We've put three new humans out there to do the work or whatever and to be humans. So that's all you're meant to do in life. That's the secret of life. Unfortunately for those people that didn't bother doing it, you're going to become a mad cat woman or a mad dog person. Guaranteed. That's what's going to happen to you. And you're going to put the same amount of love and stress into your cats and dogs as you would if you actually had children. So either way, you're going to be equally as depressed or happy, depending on what things happen. So anyway, I said to him about the Mandela effect. I said, because he talked to me about something. I could tell he's kind of, you know, he's asking questions about stuff. So, you know, he was about to go off to the gym or whatever. And I said, did you know? Well, no, sorry. I said to him, have you watched Black Mirror? And he goes, oh, it's so fantastic. It's a great show, but I love it. And if you love Black Mirror, then you will be into conspiracy theories. I have to say that they follow hand in glove. And so I said, did you know that they say that Dolly in the movie Moonraker didn't have braces? And he looked at me, because he's a dentist, for fuck's sake. He was, you know, he isn't, an orthodontist is like a version, a psycho, an orthodontist is like, would be the equivalent of a doctor and a psychiatrist. Like, there's another 4 years on top of being a dentist to become a orthodontist. But he is he knew teeth. He loved teeth. He was at university probably when that movie came out, or he was at school. I saw the movie and I was wearing braces at that time. So I laughed when Dolly opens the mouth up, when Jaws looks at her and she smiles and she's got a mouthful of metal like I had at that exact same as 1979 or 78. He said to me, she had braces. He goes, that was the joke, was that she smiles. And then I said, well, go online and you have a look at his, I could see his eyes going, hang on a minute. She says that the actress said that I wasn't wearing braces. And I went, this is what's going on. Me and Rollo found an old copy somehow online years ago while we're doing one of our live shows on the Fakeologist Australia Roundtable. Do not listen if you're getting upset easily. I'll just say that. But anyway, we found an actual image where she's clearly got thicker braces. There's an AI one out there now that shows someone's just edited in braces, but they look like the Invisalign really fine ones. She had a mouthful of metal like I had. We used to get got teased if you had braces when you were a kid at school. Train tracks, you know, it was horrible. It was 2 years of being teased, and no chick would look at you. It was very lonely being a person with braces. Is anyone can I identify with that? I was self conscious about it. I felt like I was walking around with a big witch's hat on my head and an arrow pointing at me, going, this guy's got ugly teeth. But anyway, so he couldn't believe this Mandela effect thing. And then he started going through it and he had to go off and keep researching. So I sent him down a rabbit hole. But it will wake him up. Because what you're seeing is that the damage control and the pre-planning on this operation of Mandela effect went back 20, 30, 40 years. So they would have reshot one scene with her with braces, another scene with braces, whatever. What they do with movies, they always shoot two or three or four endings to any episode, or a crucial scene, they'll shoot three different endings just in case the test audience doesn't like it or whatever. Now, he also managed to find it while he was, you know, he was shocked and he was like, no, she had braces because, you know, I'm a dentist. I watched the movie. I know teeth. But no, she apparently didn't have braces. Now, this is what they did. It's the Mandela effect, it's gaslighting, mass gaslighting. Heston Blumenthal was another wing of it. Martial arts was not gaslighting. It was introducing the East to the West. The Beatles did in the 60s with India, but this was China. And that's why there was dragons everywhere and, you know, everyone wanted to be Bruce Lee. He died very mysteriously and very young. And allegedly, because he had the one-inch punch, just Google the guy that looks just like an older version of him who has the one-inch equation, a Japanese or Chinese professor out there. Now, tell me that is not suspicious. Please. You can send an email to rick@fakeologist.com. Or Rick on truthmeets.com. I'm not sure if I've got my own email over there. But definitely at rick@fakeologist.com. If you want to email me and say yes or no. Yes or no. But there's something very suspicious about that whole thing. I guaranteed. What else can we talk about? We're getting up to my 55 minutes, so we'll probably go soon. And I'm still going green. Yes, I am. Anyway, last night's show was fantastic. Really enjoyed it. Rollo is such an interesting character. Yeah, controversial. I'll just say that. They're very controversial. Well, talk about this. Culture creation. Now, the ecstasy rollout in Australia, that's all I can talk about because I was not overseas. We had these things called a rat party because I was living this extraordinarily dull life when I was from 23. 23, I was engaged to a lovely girl. Spent 10 years with her, but it wasn't to be, and we soon worked that out. But because you just don't leave each other, it was a very hard, long haul to be there. But anyway, we got on together, and we used to laugh a lot. I'll just say that. But what I used to do was I used to see these free papers everywhere. They used to be called 3D. It was if you lived in Sydney, there was a free newspaper called 3D Magazine, or it was a newspaper. And it featured the underground scene of all, and it was advertising dance parties. You'd see all this coded stuff on this, like, there was a section at the back saying, there was codes all over the place. And it was slowly bringing in ecstasy and the rave scene from 1988, 89, 90 into the explosion that it became. And I noticed that there's a guy called Jack Vidgen that started these things called rat parties, and they would just be wherever they held them. But these were the very, very early what were called raves, the rave scene. It was only for the kind of the cool kids. And next thing you know, that started getting spread out everywhere, everywhere, with massive warehouse parties, and it went into the bigger scene. But you can see the rat, it's called the, what are they called, the Radical Arts Tribe or whatever the rat stood for, RAT. These were the guys, just like back in the 60s, where you had the whole the Happen scene in England, where you had Pink Floyd and the UFO. It was called actually UFO Club in London, where this LSD scene got slowly introduced into England. America obviously had the exact same thing with the military running it, and all run by the military. A guaranteed, no arguments entered into. Fantastic stuff done by Jan Irvin and crews back in the day. Hoax Busters crew, Chris and John Adams, Chris Kendall and John Adams, and Jay Dyer. Again, I have to, like, I don't listen to a lot of Jay Dyer stuff anymore, but that guy has had the patience to sit there and read what he called the Globalist Book Series. Highly recommend, if you want to find out stuff, go on to the Globalist Book Series. Now, I've got some of my own exclusives that I brought up, you know, because I'm heavily into George Orwell or Eric Blair, and I've got all these books in my library. And one of them, I think it was Peter Stransky and William Abraham's Orwell, The Transformation, where it goes on about some very interesting things, that the magazine that he was first involved with in England. This guy was part of the elite, guaranteed, or definitely. And so no less than his wife, and one of the anecdotes in this, I think it's the Transformation book, or is it The Same Man by David Lebedoff? Or is it? It's one of those. His wife recounts that that author that wrote that, they were sitting at a table at a restaurant in the, when it would have been in the 40s, and they knew, and this is the author that wrote some really heavyweight books. I think the Ghost in the Machine, the author that wrote The Ghost in the Machine, which is a very interesting story. It's where they want, like they talk about, they need to find out your spirit, how to destroy your spirit or your soul. And so they were coming after back then, and The Ghost of the Machine was about it. You know, that author of that book said to his wife, "Oh no, he's going to be big." And he said, "I'll bet you five bottles of Beaujolais, you know, really expensive French Beaujolais, that book's going to be famous." And people said, "Oh," they were kind of scoffing. Yeah, it became one of the most famous book made to be books ever, 1984. A made to be book that you had to read at school with Animal Farm if you were schooled in England or New Zealand or Australia. 100%. So I've talked about that on some older shows, so you'll have to go back and listen, or I could bring it up again if I wanted to. I've got so many eclectic books. I'm into eclectic music, but I've got loads and loads of eclectic books. And have I read them all? No, but I'll pick them up and I'll go through and pick out different things. The Michael Foote book on H.G. Wells is absolutely fascinating, and Michael Foote's not to be trusted, but that guy is the guy that you got your atomic bomb myth, your UFO myth and aliens, et cetera, because he was the, what does Alan Watt call him? He was the a propagandist for the elites. That's what he was. That's what he was. Now, I think I should go because I've probably said enough. I'll just look. I'll see if we've got any notes that stand out as to be better. I should talk about it tonight. Oh, well, actually, I will. So, you know, as I was saying before, I went back and listened to the Ed Offerman show, Offerman Report, and he has an interview that I'd heard before from about 4 or 5 years ago with a guy that has written a movie called The Gilligan Manifesto. Now, it fits in perfectly because I've been talking about I Dream of Jeannie and Bewitched, but Gilligan's Island was another massive fucking show. Massive. If you were a kid in the '70s, it was late '60s and '70s, you watched Gilligan's Island. So basically, what he explains in this movie, The Gilligan Manifesto, that Gilligan's Island was a straight out communist pain to communism. And all the different stories, you know, when Gilligan discovers a box of treasure and while he's making a golf course for Mr. Howe, the millionaire, billionaire, whatever he was, but he still had was an elite. Mr. Howe and Mrs. Howe were elites, even though they were stuck on a desert island. So there was all this stuff you're getting told about communism in this show. I highly recommend that Gilligan Manifesto documentary or whatever. Do yourselves a favor. But it's just incredible the influence that these shows had that you didn't know because it was hitting your subconscious. And the other one, I think, did I talk about it last week? But Martha, wonderful researcher of the Rick and Rollo Discord with Johnny's Wrist and Resmut Jeff, the three other top out there, guaranteed, sharing stuff, found the ghost in Mrs. Muir. Now, blow me down. I used to watch that show and loved it. But were you aware there was a whole lot of stuff exposing the Admiralty Law and the Law of the Sea in The Ghost of Mrs. Muir? And it's blatant if you watch the YouTube that someone's made about exposing The Ghost of Mrs. Muir. So all of your shows back in the day, you're listening to Boy Told for Facebook.
Truth Meets, supported by listener donations. You can support us too by going to truthmeets.com and clicking on the support link. Truthmeets.com. Click on the support link.
TruthMeets.com would like to shout out Lord Rollo for his generous support this month. Thank you, Rollo.
Thank you, Lord Rollo. And what a $600, what a generous donation to the TruthMeets.com. Now, out there, if you're, this is, again, boutique, you're not on YouTube, it's not going to go away anywhere. If you can support Joel with $1, $2, $33, I would not ask for $600 unless you're extraordinarily wealthy, but it's fantastic because Joel's doing a fantastic job. He's got people like me sitting in his sunroom full of interesting things, lots of interesting things, I have to tell you now, talking away about whatever he wants to talk about. It's fantastic. And you're going to hear, again, information you would never have heard unless someone like me told you, particularly some of the anecdotes that I've heard over the years, which I keep... See, I'm hopeless at remembering, instructions how to work a microwave, but I'll remember some anecdote about some rock star said about somebody in my head and can bring it up at any given stage. So Gilligan's Island, Sherwood Schwartz or Sherman Schwartz, SS. Now, what was the name of the Disneyland? I Dream of Jeannie? Was it SS there as well? Sherwood Schwartz and the guy that did Bewitched or was it I Dream of Jeannie has the SS as well. There's a there, guaranteed. They kind of admitted, I think Sherwood Schwartz said, yes, it was a kind of, we were making, the island was, there's a dystopian thing that the world had been destroyed and it was, the communist system was what we were kind of plugging. He says this. So watch the documentary. It's fantastic. Again, Offman Report is, he has such a good knockabout voice. It's just fantastic. I can sleep, put him on like Alan Watt and I will sleep and every now and then wake up and hear stuff, but he's got a comfortable voice. He's comfortable in himself. That's what you need to hear with the listener. There's people out there that have high, you know, there's stressed voices when they're talking to you and they're obviously lying or not happy about what they're saying. Well, I am. Anyway, I suspect this Fiona Barnett thing and Bruce Spence, I do not believe that story. I hope it's not true. It's This the same technique they used on a Dolphin Square with Cliff Richard and all that fat fucking, you know, and the former Prime Minister of Britain up to their necks and young boys and, you know, new kids on the block, Backstreet Boys, etc., etc., the things that they were into back in the day. So Ab's right 100% that this is the Epstein files are not bringing up what they're really into. What they are really into. It's this black hole sun motif. It's Crowley was into it. It's, you know, all disgusting if you're, you know, a clean living person that doesn't want to look, go into this. It gets darker and darker and darker, guaranteed to be told. So, yeah, I think we'll wind it up. And we're going to go out with, because I like talking about all I know. And I try and give you all I know in a certain amount of time, 55 to an hour. Because no one's got the attention span to listen to a, look at the audio chats on Fakeologists. 15 hours of interesting information is too much. You need it compiled and compacted and boom, knocked out. And it's what you're getting. So we're going to go out with Mark Lanegan with The Screaming Trees and All I Know on the anniversary of his death 4 years ago, where I suggest he took a clot shot and got a clot in his lungs. Collapsed and passed away way too young, 55 or whatever he was, way too young. And he's younger than me. He was younger than me. Fantastic. So on that note, Rick and Roll. On that note, be told, episode number 53, All I Know by Screaming Trees with Mark Lanegan on lead vocals. A one, a two, a three, and I'll see you in a couple of days, possibly. Thanks, everybody. Good night.
The Mother Mary.